And out of that wheat crushing and harvesting and everything that went through, we could enjoy or eat that bread. And not only enjoy it, eat that bread with the significance of an instruction given by Jesus himself when he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." He included you. And then when he drank, as the scripture says in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles, would you mind turning over? It's good for us to read this. I tell you something, while you're finding this scripture, if you have read the scripture 1,000 times, it is extremely good and helpful for you to read it 1,001 times today. Because that's so important it is. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that was the church at Corinth, that had its problems and difficulties. But before I go on to that, I just mentioned about the bread. I want to insert the importance of the wine. The grapes had to be harvested and crushed in order to extract that wine that speaks so much of the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. And one of the biggest struggles that we as God's people go through is that knowledge, that experience, that assurance that we are forgiven and being washed by the blood of Christ. The book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, he is faithful and will forgive our sins." Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Christ. There is cleansing in that precious blood that was shed. So, as we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, I'd like us just to focus on these words, what Paul was saying. I'm sorry, for 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just the following chapter. I had the wrong page in my Bible. Verse 23, chapter 11, verse 23. This is what Paul was saying. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Always remember this. We're not partaking of the communion because of an effort to show someone or to prove to the elders or the deacons or a brother or sister that we are partaking of the communion. It's a very personal matter between you and your God. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body," verse 24, "which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye did, you do eat this bread and drink this wine, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28 is a very important verse. But let a man, let a woman, let us all, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let a man examine ourselves. As we quietly, in the presence of God, we are called upon to examine ourselves, not to examine another person. Just examine ourselves before God and sit. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily shall eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We are here because as a corporate members of the body of Christ, not to judge, not to fight and rail and squabble and these things. We are to love each other in the body of Christ. We are to care for each other and pray for each other. So this is a solemn moment. May the spirit of forgiveness just prevail in our hearts. We have heard from the testimonies how much by simply letting it go can be of a blessing to you. If you hold on to these things, you will constantly be struggling and ending up nowhere. So that's what we need to remember. One important thing of the Lord's table, this is considered the Lord's table. It is not Global Missions table. And because it's the Lord's table, the invitation is open to everyone under two conditions, two simple conditions. As long as you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and secondly, as long as you're walking in obedience to Him and you're following the principles of the Word of God, then feel free to partake. We encourage people to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's Supper. And in South America, if you go to someone's home and they offer you a glass of water or a snack, and if you would just say, "I'm sorry, I will not accept it," and you refuse from their table, from that snack, from a glass of water they're offering you, it becomes an insult. Let's not insult the Lord. Let's not insult. He wants us. He loves us. And He wants us to be part of this communion table. So as you partake, you examine yourselves and ask the Lord quietly. Don't struggle with unforgiven sins. Don't struggle with the things of the past. Just give it over quietly to the Lord. I'd like you to ask, just bow your heads as you're seated, just, and just quietly focus on Him. Focus, well, 2,000 years ago, they were in that room, and Jesus was there. 2,000 years after, we are in a much larger room and partaking of the communion. And Jesus is here too. His presence is right here. And so we need to come back to the cross, the shedding of the blood and the broken body. We need to be reminded. We need to come back beneath the cross of Jesus and just examine ourselves quietly and ask the Lord quietly within your hearts, and He'll do it. He'll forgive you. He wants you to participate, and this brings the freedom in your heart and in your life. Amen. As we bow our heads and we look to the Lord in searching our own selves and confessing, just allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. He's loving, He's kind. Don't be afraid to tell Him. Don't hide. Just come as an open book before the Lord. Because He knows us, and He wants us to grow in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. While we are being obedient to scriptures and examining ourselves, we'll ask the brethren who are assigned to administer the bread and the wine, if you could come forward now. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I have not done this before, but it seems to me that the Lord wants us, if we can simply repeat this prayer as we focus on the Lord, if you can repeat it. Heavenly Father, we come to you realizing your righteousness and your holiness, and your calling upon our lives. This day, before your table, please forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that might trespass against us. And help us to walk with you, to love you, and to serve you. Jesus' name. With our heads still bowed and in the attitude of searching and looking to the Lord, we will ask God's blessing on the bread.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the gift that Jesus gave to us, Lord. As we examine ourselves, we can't help but feel the joy rising up within us because of the door you opened into the holiest of all, the door of reconciliation, the door of love. Lord, we realize that there's a need for us, our natures, to be crushed, that that full nature of Christ might burst forth from within, Christ within, the hope of glory. We pray, Lord, that as we partake, that somehow, Lord, we will joyfully look to that resurrection life that waits to flow into each of us, to change our beings, to make us into one loaf. Lord, we just appreciate you so much. Bless each one that partakes. Give liberty to each one that partakes. Give your joy to each one that partakes. Give your resurrection life to each one that partakes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please feel free to take a piece of the bread and hold it until we further instruct you. Hold it in your right hand, if you don't mind. There's no scripture that tells us to hold it in our right hand, but we simply want it to be uniform together.
Has everyone been served? Is there any missing person that did not get?
Let us partake together in unity as we remember the love of our Lord.
Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me into the fold, wondrous grace that brought me into the fold. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is a fountain flowing in the house of David for sin and unrighteousness.
Yes.
We thank you for the shedding of the blood of Christ 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary that is still effective in 2019. We ask your blessing upon these cups as we pronounce your blessing upon them, Lord, as we partake, that every cup will be blessed in Jesus' name. And may the, as we partake, Lord, may the impartation of life, of divine health, of divine healing may be our portion. Bless us, Lord, as we bless these cups. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Has anybody been missed with the wine? Did you put your hand up? We're going to take an offering now for Sharon Schools. And I was just thankful and blessing the Lord when I saw the new entrance stairways that had been put on the H building in different places. And just thank the Lord this is ongoing. And as you make out your check, it's to Sharon Schools. There's going to be envelopes come if you'd like a receipt. Let's just ask Brother Leon to bless the offering this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in Thee for Thy many blessings and for how Thou dost provide for all our needs. And our Heavenly Father, we just ask the distribution of this collection, O Lord, be to Thy honor and Thy glory and to thy kingdom. We ask this in Thy name and just bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We would just like to pray for, I suppose, every one of us in the auditorium here are all travelers. Whether we travel 100 yards or we travel 100 miles. By land, by air, I don't think any would be traveling by sea on this trip. But I get so accustomed with land, air, and sea because when we go to the interior of Guyana, we have to use all three methods of transportation. I even would tell the people, and even if we have to come to see you by way of a submarine, we will come and see you because that's the kingdom of God. Amen. So we're going to pray. If you don't mind, if you can stand one more time, if you're able to do so, we will pray. If you're not feeling so well, so you can be seated in whichever is comfortable. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that we can truly say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Such a blessed time of fellowship, of sharing, of participating of your word, rich and free. Lord, we pray, dear Lord, as we travel from this place and we go to our various homes, and as we travel, that you will watch over us. Lord, your word tells us that you will preserve our going out and coming in from this day henceforth. We thank you, Lord, for your hands to rest upon us, your protection, your guiding angels to be with us as we travel. Most of all, your anointing and the power of God may rest upon us, O God. And as we talk and we fellowship, if we're traveling in the twos and the threes, we thank you, Lord, for what a blessing it is to not only travel in twos and threes, but even gathering in a motor car and just moving down, that we can be in your presence. Bless your people, Lord. Touch our hearts. Touch our minds. Quicken us by your Spirit and help us, Lord, to go forth, Lord, with that zeal and power in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. We can be seated. I hope today is the last day of camp that we are all fired up. You know, fired up. We all are very enthusiastic about the Lord. Well, I'm just staying at ground level here because I like to connect with people. I like to stay here, if that's okay with you. I'm going to... some of the other brethren will come, and as Brother Ulrich used to say, share the nuggets of truth, precious nuggets of truth. Well, in the fellowship is like a gold mine. And so some of the other brethren will come and probably use the stage or what have you. But for those on the World Wide Web, for those that are live streaming, we want to say to you, what we have experienced here is such a precious moment, a precious time of participating in the communion of the Lord. Because he said it, and we believe it, and not only believe it, we experience that blessing from the Lord. There's a big difference between experiencing and just talking about it. So, what I found about this camp here, God seems to be bringing out certain aspects of the camp that we should be reminded of. And the scripture that comes very much to my mind is from the book of Proverbs, that says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Think about that. Within you, God has made you a tripartite human being, body, soul, and spirit. And it's that spirit within you that the Holy Spirit communicates with you and witness to you that you're the sons of God, that you're part of the kingdom of God. And that's in that context is the way God ministered to us. So if the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, you know what? Our lights should be beaming. Our candles should be burning brightly over the hills. And like what the book of Matthew chapter 16, the words of Jesus, he said it, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Just can't be hid. Because the way that Jerusalem was located, it's there. There's a hillside there. And especially when you come down to the lower level. Because, you know, in Israel there, the lowest point of the earth is the Dead Sea. But we're not going to talk about the Dead Sea. From that vantage point, by the Sea of Galilee, as you look up, you can see the hills all around Jerusalem. And as David says, that as the hills are around Jerusalem, so the Lord are around his people. Isn't that wonderful? I felt like jumping, you know, to know that God sees us. And God, Jesus used the example about a city that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. That same light should be burning brighter and brighter each day. The exhortation here comes to us. As we leave this camp, may the light of the presence of God, of the anointing of the Lord just glow from us, right into our homes, right to our friends, those at work, those who we might meet. And every time we shake hands with someone or we give someone a pat, it must be a transferring of that light and the power of God and the anointing, that we may touch people. Oh, to be his hands extended, reaching out. That's the purpose. Why God has called us into his kingdom is not just for us to relax. He's called us towards ministry and service, touching lives, helping people. That's the purpose why we are called. And we read in this camp about Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Hallelujah. To preach the deliverance. That's our purpose. God has not called us just to be ordinary people. He has called us that the light of the Lord will just penetrate right into the hearts, right into the spirits of people and touch them. Sometimes we may not even have to say a word, your mere presence. We thank every one of you for being here, and for those who were here and left. Your presence is important in the body of Christ. You may not be able to participate in something, but your presence here, you're important. It's time God's people hear that. You are important with God as far as where God is concerned. You may not be important where somebody in the workplace may not recognize you. That's okay. You may not be important among certain circles. That's okay too. But as long as you're important with God, that's what that counts. Aren't you happy about that? So be encouraged, be challenged to press on as you leave this camp today. Press on. Go and dwell in that light. That light. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, brightly beaming, brightly shining, so that others can bring their candles and be lighted too. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it's all about. We're living in a dark world, a world of darkness, of sin, of degradation, a world that is filled with all kinds of things. Young people, you're faced with all of these difficulties. God wants you to be the shining light on campus. God wants you to be that shining light. Don't be afraid to admit if someone comes and asks you, are you a Christian? Don't back down. You're a witness for the Lord. You're a witness for the Lord. You are supposed to be shining that light. Well, the areas that we fail God when we fail to shine that light. We're called upon to pray for others and to witness for others. Now, there is something I'd like to say, and the brethren are here. I feel very comfortable as long as the brethren are here. Because I know if I make a mistake, one of them could call me aside and say, you know, you said this or you said that. And I'll say, okay, I admit, and move on. Simply put. So, we are called. And the reason why we don't emphasize this soul winning and go out there and share tracts to people and preach and be so preachy and tell people all kinds of things and have mass evangelism here and probably rent that complex over here and invite people from all over and have television ads going and let's have a big thing to do. All that is good. I'm not criticizing that. That's a wonderful approach. What has God called us to? That's the more important thing. God wants us to shine forth that light. And each one of us, we are called to be a witness. We are called to be a witness. A witness is a person that goes up in the court and stands before the court and said, yes, I saw this. And I witnessed this. It's empirical evidence to show what we have experienced. It's based on our experience. You know what? We can't explain it. God does not want you to explain it. But he wants us to experience it. Amen? Amen. Experience the power of God. I can't explain it. Nobody can. How can you explain, you know, the power of God? But you can experience it. So I'll say this to you.
In the book of Acts, he says, Acts chapter 1,
ye shall be witnesses. That's what the Lord says. Ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. Our mere presence is a witness. And there might be someone that is struggling, some fainting, struggling seaman that might be drowning there and dying. And the Lord might have given you that opportunity, just instinctively lead you to go and talk to somebody. It's just as simply touching someone. Would you go, when you leave this camp, would you go with the realization that God has called you to talk to someone? And I know among us that with the laying on of hands, we were given that gift of evangelism. And sure enough, it is easy for some of us to go and witness to somebody. It's easy because that's our calling, that's our gifting, that's our ministry. For others, it might be a little more difficult. And I understand that. But the Lord can help you. The Lord can help you. Do not be hesitant about your faith. If there is one thing, of course, I'm from a third world country, a third world guy. And when I come to North America, I have noticed and I have observed, and this is not a criticism, this is just an observation I'm sharing with you. Can I tell you? That observation is many people in North America are somewhat hesitant to share their faith. That's the big difference between the third world countries and North America. We are hesitant to share our faith. We are hesitant to talk to somebody about the Lord. We're hesitant to say, can we pray? Can I pray for you or something like that? God is speaking to us here. He's awakening us that if his light is burning in you, if his anointing is on you, well then obey the Spirit of God. Simply put, obey the Spirit of God. And that verse there in Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal those who are sick and to preach the acceptable year. How do we preach? Do we preach with just words? I believe that's the least way. St. Francis of Assisi says what? Be an instrument. Yes, thank you. Or preach the word. If necessary, use words. Isn't that something? That's the place God wants you. That's the place God wants me to be. If necessary, use some words. When the apostles of old, when they walked into an area, there's an aura there. There's a power of the presence of God. Oh, may God help us. I'm not criticizing us. The church needs to come back to that place where the power of God is flowing through our lifeblood and showing and witnessing Jesus Christ. What's our purpose? What's our purpose? Just going through the mill of things. And then there are many that standing in need of prayer. May God touch our hearts. May God give us that compassion, that love. And we can't do anything many, many times, but God could use us as a simple instrument. Simple instrument. Just a smile. Just a hello. Just a God bless you. Simple little things. Can we do that? Don't you think that God has such a magnifying power. He can take just a little speck. Well, we might consider, this is so small. I don't think this is important. Yes, it is important. Let the Lord put his magnifying glass and boom, to his glory, to his praise. Amen? So I just wanted to just, as the Apostle Paul says, to stir up the gift that is in you. To stir up the gift, not to be too settled. As you leave this camp, may you go with the enthusiasm, with the zeal, with the vigor of the Lord. And you find that Jesus himself, when he was reading in the temple in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he picked up the scriptures and he read that exact verse. 4:18 in Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. That's direct. That's the ministry of Jesus. That's the same ministry He's given unto us. In different shapes and forms, for those of us who God has given that ministry of showing mercy, of praying for healing, for visitation, whatever it is, you know them all, right? So this is what, as I stand here, I think that the Lord has just prompted me to let you know this. God bless you. I will hand over to the other brethren who may have much more things, much more edifying stuff to share to you. And thank you, Brother Eldon. And you may want to go up there, right? Yes.
Praise God. I guess for the next two or three hours, I'll be here. You're now you're happy. I won't be, won't you? We have learned in the last week that there's a ground that we have that must be cultivated. That heart must be softened and fallow ground must be made that we can accept all those things that the Lord has ministered to us. Praise God. I said must. It's voluntary. Stir up within you those things that are needful. Praise God. This morning, Brian indicated that with the glass that our heart sometimes and our spirit is upside down. We're not in a position, we don't leave ourselves open to accept what God wants us to accept. We hear it, but we don't understand it. We see it, but we're blind. He wants us to open our vessels to the hearing of the Spirit and to the seeing of the Spirit, that these things can be accomplished in us. There's a short song, there's a chorus to the song, "Fill My Cup, Lord, I Lift It Up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up. Make me whole." That's what we have to kind of look at internally and say, "Lord, how is my cup doing? Am I on a tilt this way, or am I on a tilt that way? Am I completely upside down?" You heard Robert ministering to us this morning of the wonderful things that we can do, should do, will do. Praise God. That He gives us that encouragement. To me, it's been a lovely week. It's been an inspiring week. It's been an enjoyable week to hear the things of the Lord ministered as they have been. If we can get to that place where Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the prize, leaving those things which are behind." Here was a place for everyone to leave their things behind last week, last Friday? Have we left them all behind as we said we were going to do? Or have we got that little secret package that we have decided that, well, I need this one. I think that was Minister Du. I need this one and I need that one. You know, I can't complete my life unless I have some of that baggage that I left up at the altar. If I take it back with me, they're going to notice a change in me, and I don't want to notice a change in me. But the change in you would be wonderful, praise God, if you have left it here. Hallelujah. Amen. The prize, he said, is the prize of the high calling. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, Paul said. But there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, praise God. I press. Now that's just not when you're going to press something, you're squeezing it. If you're going to press an orange, you're going to squeeze the juice right out of it. I press toward the mark for the prize. And that's your prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. We sometimes don't carry it on, but he will reveal that to you if we are otherwise minded, that we're not going to press toward the mark. That's such a wonderful to have a goal to achieve, is to press toward something. It doesn't matter whether you're a football player, a basketball player, or what you're playing in the natural. You have a goal. You have a hockey stick and you want to put the puck in the goal. You know, you have a bat and you want to line it over the fence. You have a goal. And the goal is actually, for those things, it's actually for the team. And it's for us. If I veer off, that's not going to help you. But if I can be here and encourage you and thank God for you and pray for you and pray for your needs and you pray for my needs, praise God. Here we are. Praise God. I guess I would think that the biggest thing that we have left at the altar and have when we're filled with the Spirit, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the best thing that we can leave behind is our own individual pride, our natural pride, because it interferes with everything. It interferes the relationship between you and your wife. It interferes with the relationship between you and your children. It interferes with your relationship with God. The pride you have, leave it at the altar. And if you didn't come up to leave it at the altar, you can leave it at the altar right there where you're sitting. It's a very dangerous way to be. Because you can be so proud that you're so religious that, you know, as one said, you're no earthly good. You can be so happy and proud that you're so religious. God wants you just to bow your knee. God wants you to confess your faults before him. God wants you to cry before him. God wants you to weep before the altar. God wants you to love him, because he will love you. I think I've said enough. Praise God. But the brethren said, if there's anything that's been effective, maybe you would speak. And so I took this opportunity to tell you to be encouraged. Praise God. As Robert was so encouraging to us this morning. Praise God.
Brother Eldon's the 5-minute man. He always had this timer up here. And I hope that I won't spend much longer than 5 minutes. And if I, when I'm done here, leave, that's because I got 2 boys that need to get to work tomorrow morning. And I won't be able to give you anything while I'm listening to live stream, but I can listen to you while I'm on live stream. So anyway, we sang that song, "Hear the Trumpet Sounding, All Ye Soldiers of the Cross." The trumpet is sounding, the trumpet is the voice of the Lord. We are soldiers of the cross. We're sounding, the sound is coming from the mountain of our God. It's time to waken out of slumber and of sleep. For our redemption is drawing nigh. He's talking our full redemption. See the evil forces now arrayed against the church? Do you think there are any? See the evil forces now arrayed against the church. What to do? Put on your armor and be brave and strong. God has not given us a war without the equipment. Christ will give command. His kingdom is at hand. Let us begin to sing the victor's song. I want to remind us of a prophecy a year or two ago. This is the trumpet sounding. You want to talk about hearing the trumpet sound? This is the song. Here's the prophecy. Here's the trumpet that's sounding. Yea, the Lord saith unto thee in this house, I stand at another open door and say unto thee, the Lord calleth thee to enter. Yea, I say unto thee, thou cannot come, for the door is too narrow and the pathway too small for you to enter in with those things which you still carry with you. There are prophecies. There are real prophecies and there are false prophets. The Lord said that's going to happen. How can you tell if it's a false prophet or a false prophecy? It won't happen. This is not one of those. He says the door is too narrow for the stuff we've got. That was a year or two ago. And now he's telling us what to do about it. There is a continuation here. God has been so good. There is no secret what God is doing. He's telling us to peel the onion. And if you got some onions, you know, there's a few tears when you start peeling them. And we did leave some tears here. And I trust that the baggage that you left here, I can almost assure us that if we don't leave it here, we're not going through the door. What are we leaving behind? We're leaving ourselves behind. I must decrease, he must increase. The door is too narrow, the pathway too small for you to enter with those things which you still carry with you. Isn't that good? The Lord understands. The Lord knows the baggage we carry. And he says, I'm telling you, leave it behind. I'm going to accept you. I'm going to accept you. You can make it. Saints of God, you can make it. He's not giving us an impossibility. He says we are able. There was two men that said, we're well able. Regardless of the giants, we're well able. They had a different spirit. When you sing that song, hear the trumpet, all ye soldiers of the cross, you know, we can be in this room and not hear it. These things must be laid aside. These things must be left along the way. You know what? Next year you may come back and you may leave more things at the altar here. It's going to be the same location, but we've moved.
Yes.
We're no longer in the same place. We are no longer a year ago. I wouldn't trade last year's experience in the realm of the Spirit for this year. Because we've moved on. We're not there anymore. Thrown, as it were, into the ditches beside the road. For they cannot, you cannot carry them through this door. I say unto you, the time has come. God has timing. In the fullness of time, he sent Jesus. He didn't send him early. He didn't send him late. He sent him on time. Moses came on time. Everything that God does. You know, God is building an ark. The church is the ark. And you know, you may feel like this is a little boring. How do you think Noah felt? One log at a time gets cut down, gets shaped, gets applied. One log at a time. How long? At least 100 years. How are we doing? We only got 70. Only 30 years left. Here's what I'm going to tell you. That God is not going to rain his judgment on the earth until the ark is complete. You believe that? God will not rain judgment upon the earth until the ark is complete. If I'm wrong on that, brethren, help me out. God's in no hurry. But God is very thorough. He's doing us a favor by not letting us get away. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and he scourges every son whom he receives. And we are receiving some scourgings of the Lord. It's not fun. You know, you wonder why we don't have masses and crowds of people. Who wants to die? This is no fun. But we're talking about the prize, Brother Eldon. The prize. I'll tell you, when it started raining, I think there had been a few guys wanting to enter that door, eh? For they cannot, you cannot carry them through this door. For I say unto you, the time has come, thus saith the Lord, that it is time to enter the things and to take hold of the things that you have sung about, you prophesied about, and have been taught, and the word. You cannot come and enter into those things as long as you carry with you those things which are not of me. You know, when God moved in the Old Testament, when the cloud began to move, you better start pulling some pins and moving the tent. Because the cloud, where you're going to stay, you're going to be left behind. These things must be laid aside. I offer you the kingdom of God. We heard about the kingdom of God. We said and every city that gets ruled needs people. God's not going to do it magically. He's going to use us, and he's going to work with things. He's going to work with us, and he wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. He wants us unburdened, unshackled, and I hope and pray that you resist the devil, because he will flee from you. Things of this world must be left aside. Things of grievance and quarrels and arguments and hurts. And all these things have no place in the administration of my kingdom. Isn't that amazing? I must have you completely empty of these things of the world. I'm going to read them again. Things of the world must be left behind, aside things of grievances. The disciples said, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? They thought they were being generous. He said, not 7 times. 70 times 7. Just do it as long as is required. Things of grievances, quarrels, and arguments, and hurts. Got any of those? These things have no place in the administration of my kingdom. I must have a completely empty. I must have you completely empty of these things of the world. All of these things, my little ones that have been inherited from Adam, must be laid aside. That Adamic nature, they must be. You must come into submission to the Spirit of God, which dwells within you. These things must you do, for yea, I say unto you, it is not your name upon a roll or a card that says, I'm a member of Global Missions. But yea, I say unto you, you will be measured not by what you bring, but what you leave behind, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And I'm encouraged this morning. I've been encouraged all week long. Of people that have been leaving addictions behind. You don't have to be a victim. I say again, there's prison doors that have been unlocked. And please don't benefit by staying in the prison. Move on. Move out. Move into responsibilities in the realm of the Spirit. I think I've taken more time than I anticipated. God bless you.
I don't know who said it, but someone said, the mills of God grind exceedingly slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. A little bit too slow for you sometimes? Maybe a little bit too fine for you sometimes. I know it's that way for me. I think there's some truth to that statement. He will have exactly what he wants when the grinding is complete. When the refining is complete, he will have exactly what he wants. He will have pure gold. I'm reminded of that song. We sing it from time to time. Take me and break me till I am nothing. How many here want to be nothing? I don't see a single hand raised here. Oh, here's one down here. But you know, if we're going to be truthful with ourselves, that's exactly what needs to happen to you and to me. We need to be broken by the Spirit of God until we are nothing. But then the song goes on, you see. That's what I like about it. It says, then after the breaking process has taken place, then make me and mold me until I am something. So God wants to make something out of my nothing. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to the natural thinking, does it? That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to make something of me, and he wants to make something of you. But the breaking process needs to take place in all of us. Mention was made of pride here. There are many other things, I think, that get in our way and trouble us. Then take me and use me for your glory until all that I am is you. You know, we hear quite a bit about coming forth in the image of Christ, possessing his very nature, but I believe that we need, as a body of believers, to desire that more and more. Yes, that this nature, which I possess this morning, which I still possess to some extent this morning, must be broken, must be left behind, must fall away, that his nature, that I might possess his nature. I think it is a process. I think that process has begun to be more clear to us, even in this camp. And we're beginning to see there are those things that must fall away. Let me leave you with this thought. Not a new one, but maybe a good place to say it. Christ died not for a partial salvation. He died for a complete salvation. He died for tripartite man. He died for spirit, soul, and body, the completeness of it. When he said it was finished on the cross of Calvary, he was speaking of his creation. He was speaking of the whole person. There's a song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Isn't that something pretty fantastic? There's a lot of people. But on the cross of Calvary, I was on his mind. I know the time is going. Let me just say this one more thing. What are you willing to settle for? What are you willing to settle for this morning? Salvation is a beginning. It is but a beginning. It is important, a very important first step, but it is a beginning. Is that what you're, is that all you're willing to settle for? Salvation is good. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. There's more. It is but a part. It is but a birth. The infilling of the Spirit happened here the other night. I don't know that I've experienced a time when the infilling was so powerful as it was the other night. I want to tell you, if you were filled with the Spirit the other night, and I know there were many who were, it is but a beginning. Don't go away and say, now I've got it. Praise the Lord, I've got it. That's good. That's all I need. Now you need to begin to use it. It's but a beginning. It's a gift to be used. The infilling of the Spirit is to communicate with God for increasing spiritual growth. We can settle for heaven when God holds out sonship. And there's a difference. Oh, sonship includes heaven. But we can settle for the part when God wants to give us the whole. And the whole is beginning to more and more resonate in my heart. I believe it's in your heart. That there is more for us. And he wants to give his inheritance to us. You know, when I pass from this earth, I'd like to walk right into the kingdom. I'd like to be Enoch. Just walk right in. But if I pass from this earth, whatever inheritance I have, my children can have. What would I want to hold on to it for? Is it going to do me any good? I'll give them all. The whole inheritance. Equally divided, of course. But you see what I'm talking about? God wants us to have the whole thing. Not just the part. Let's just grasp a hold of what God is doing and wants to do in a body, in a corporate body of people. Oh yes, he's working on us as individuals. I understand that. But he's also working on a group, a body, a corporate body of people and bringing them in. The whole body. Amen? We need to play our part in that every day. There's more learning. There's greater responsibility. The picture becomes more and more clear as we walk with him. It comes in focus more and more as we're obedient and walking with him. I'm sorry, I think I took too long. But there might be a couple minutes or...
You can see I don't have my Bible, so I'm not going to speak, but I would like us, in closing this morning, I've wanted to sing this song all week. It's on page 122. In closing, I'd like for us to just, seems to me to fit with the things that have happened this week. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'd like for us just to sing the first three verses as we close. So if you'll stand, and maybe if you have your books, you can turn to that. And we'll just sing that together. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, we know he comes into our hearts when we accept him as our Savior. But there is a refilling daily of God's Spirit in our life. Every day we can rejoice because the Spirit is filling us, refilling us, filling us more every day. So let's just sing it with all of our hearts as a prayer of thanksgiving to God.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful service. We thank you for the reminders that we received this morning, Father. We thank you as we reflect upon this week. We thank you for the work that has been done. Father, we thank you for the things that we have left behind. We thank you, Lord, that the dark clouds which may have covered our pathway are there no more. The way is clear before us now, Father. Let us walk in the freedom which you have purchased for us. Let us partake of all that has been provided through the sacrifice of Christ. Lord, your word tells us that we have been given everything we need for life and godliness. Now let us go forth and live in this realm of the Spirit that you want us to live and walk in. Even though our feet are upon this terra firma, Father, our spirits can be in that realm of the Spirit every day and every hour. Father, we just pray a blessing upon your people this morning. We pray for traveling mercies as they go. May they have a song in their heart and even a song upon their lips as they travel the highways and byways to their home. Until we meet together again, Lord, may you go with us and be with us. We thank you for making us a part of your family, the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there some announcements? You may be seated just a moment till we see if there are maybe. You can always count on Darren for an announcement.
Just the usual announcements from me. Please take all of your stuff home. If you have keys to your room, please leave them at the registration desk. Look under your bed. Unless you brought an RV, then we don't care. But if you're staying in a dorm room, look under your bed. Check your room. Make sure you have it all. Sometimes we get a lot of Bibles that have been orphaned here because we've left them on our pew and gone for lunch and then went packed up. So maybe set a reminder for yourself to come and get those. But as has been stated, there's one thing that we don't want you to take with you, and that is what you left here. I know Brother Andy had used a couple of props here when he was doing his encouraging us to leave it at the altar. But visualize that. Those props serve a purpose. So I know for me, it's easy for me to come and drag it back. And I can, and there's so many things. Maybe I'm angry about something, and I've left it at the altar. But now I'm going to pick up that at home. But visualize leaving it here.
Yes.
Just leave it here, and we'll throw it away. So everything else, we would appreciate if you took home. Thank you very much. Lord bless you.
You're dismissed.